Bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 57. We're working on revive four steps. This morning I want to get into humility. We've been looking at these four steps to revive our hearts from the chains of bondage. The first one, which we covered last week, honesty, and we'll work humility today, and then confession and renunciation. I want to speak very frankly with you today, so it's not my intention to make you feel uncomfortable or I just want to speak very frankly, and I'm not intending to offend anyone, but I do want to just share some things I believe God has set on my heart. And in my endeavor to help you. Like I said last week, we looked at honesty. To get honest with ourselves and with God, and perhaps even to get honest with ourselves as the church. Are you stuck in bondage? You want to really move out with the power of God in your life, but you just can't. You're just not able to step out. That's really what I want to address. And there can be several reasons for that. A lot of you, including myself, had great ideals when we first got involved with the Word and with the Scriptures. We had great desires for our lives. We had visions of ourselves walking by the Spirit of God and doing the works that Jesus Christ did. But somewhere along the line, you become fearful that you're not going to be allowed to, or someone's going to tell you that you cannot do that. Don't waste your time with so-and-so. He doesn't even have a job, a home. His life's a mess. Don't waste your time. They're kind of low class. You better check with so-and-so. She brings home every stray cat. You know what I mean. Yes, I do. Bondage, bondage, bondage. Jesus Christ instructed us to go ye into all the world. We are to preach to every creature under heaven. And is not that what our Lord did? If it were not for men and women who really decided to make themselves humble to the Word, what does the Word say? What has God instructed us to do? What has our Lord Jesus Christ instructed us to do? And people have done it, or some of us stray cats would still be in the alley. Bondage begins with you can't or I can't. Yes, you can. There are a lot of things perhaps I may choose not to do, but the truth is I can. It's time the church sort of kicks off the chains of bondage and helps others out of the enslavement from the satanic works of darkness. Set men and women free through the truth of the Word. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That really is the purpose of the Word. I know we've heard that the man of God may be perfect and all that, but if the man of God doesn't get off his butt and start helping people, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That is the grand purpose of the Word. I'd much rather let a man or a woman reject the Word than not to witness to the wonderful Word that sets men and women free. just because someone else thinks he doesn't quite fit what we're looking for. Or, you know, look at him. He can't afford to take the... Well, gosh, he's a down and outer. Oh, yeah? Well, that's what I was. And someone so loved that they spoke the word to me. In Isaiah 57, verse 15, it says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one." A contrite one is one who is truly sorrowful. One who's been wounded, you know, where you're bleeding on the inside. The contrite one. Does our heart need to be revived again? When I first was introduced to the scriptures, I had great youthful enthusiasm. Well, the youth is gone, but the enthusiasm still remains for the scriptures, for the word of God, for what that word of God does to set the captives free. The first step is we must be humble to the word of God. Look, let's go to the 119th Psalm. We need to keep our humility to the word of God. This word of God works. This word of God is powerful on the lips of believing. This word of God is dynamic. This word of God is life-giving. And this word of God provides great fruit to our lives. I know fruit of the Spirit, and we must have the Spirit of God. But once we have the Spirit of God, once we're born again of God, then we need to really act with conviction upon the Word of God. And move our minds and our hearts to the place we are humble enough to serve the Word of God. In the 119th Psalm, in verse 92, of course, you know this psalm. It's a psalm where the word of God is mentioned in every one in different forms of the way that it's expressed. But in verse 92, "Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction." I almost died. You know, he's saying, I almost died without the word. It's helped to all my flesh. I almost died without the word. I did not know what to do. I was so disgusted with my life. I was so disgusted with the ways of the world. I was ready to commit suicide. But had not the law come along and been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me, made me alive again. I was made alive by the word. I was given enthusiasm by the word. I was given a joy for life by the word. I was given a vision for my life by the word of God, much greater than any vision I ever had in life. Look at what Job thought of the word. Job chapter 23. Job 23, and in verse 11, "My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Why? Because I esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You know what happens if you don't eat? You die. But I would rather die. I would rather be deprived of food than ever lose the hunger I've had for the truth of the word. What about you? Don't let the adversary steal the bread of life from your mouth and what you've sown in your heart and what you've built in your heart. You have taken a lot of time to systematically build the word of God into your life. Don't let the adversary keep you from utilizing it. Don't let the adversary keep your heart from the compassion you have for others to bring healing and deliverance, because he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You know, we, politically speaking, we talk about, you know, not having any prejudice toward anything. But yet, in practice, there is more prejudice against every stripe, every race, every nationality, every strata of life than there has ever been before. Those are all just cover words that the adversary uses because he's working through those same systems because he rules them. Why should we allow them to determine our heart and determine our thinking, and even worse, determine our actions? Why not let this word of God that set us free, this word of God that opened great doors to us, be that which we make our decisions upon? Be that which would, the way we live our lives, be that for which we form our morality and our understanding and our love and our determination from. Look at Psalm 138, the 138th Psalm. Perhaps we may have forgotten this one over the years. Verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's where it sets, and that's where we should keep it, and that's where we ought to elevate our lives to. Jeremiah chapter 15, let's go there. Jeremiah chapter 15. And in many cases, we're doing these things and we are enjoying that. I was going to say youthful enthusiasm, but at least the enthusiasm part of it. And yet, in reality, it has kept us younger than ever. It has kept us more vivacious than we've been before. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. People are looking all over for some kind of calling. There it is. I've been called by thy name, Lord of hosts. Is the word still the joy and rejoicing of your heart? Because it is the word of God, and God Almighty has called you. Or has it become a puzzle you like to work and get enjoyment out of working the puzzle? Is it really, have you really digested the word? Has it really become a very part of you? Or is it this thing outside of you that you enjoy working the puzzle? Because the intention and the purpose of the word is he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And we who know the word, are we going out to heal them and deliver them from their destructions? Are we taking the word that we have digested now and making it our mission, making it our calling? Because I have been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Isn't that something? See, where does the value of the word really stand in your heart? And sometimes it's just that, you know, we just need a little alarm clock, a little wake-up call, because we do have a love for the word. But are we living like we have a love for the word? Are we living like people who know and believe the love God has to us? Or are we still living in fear of what so-and-so is going to say, or what this directive is going to be, or what that's going to be, or how we should process so-and-so? We're children of God, and this is our Father's word. And we have to decide whether we're going to have someone else tell us, you can't do that. You can't go preach that. You can't go preach there. You can't talk to that. Go ye into all the world and preach to every creature. Everyone should have an opportunity to say yes or no to the word, because everyone may need healing and may need to be delivered from their destructions. And it is only the word of God that's going to do that. There's nothing else. It's a powerful word with a powerful purpose. Don't let it just be your intellectual pursuit, but let it reveal the power and the love of God. Does it set you free? John 8. Beginning in verse 30, this is Jesus speaking. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Isn't that something? You'll know the truth about yourself, and you'll know the truth about God, and you will know the truth about his wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what it presents, the truth of those three wonderful things: the truth about yourself, the truth about our Lord Jesus Christ, and the truth about God. He is light, and in him is no darkness at all, none whatsoever. See? Let's go to Luke chapter 4. And in Luke chapter 4 is a wonderful record. And let's start in verse 16. And he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book, or the scroll, of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The word poor here is to the humble, to those who have decided to lower themselves, lower their own intellect, and not rely on that, but allow the word to have precedence over what they think. Have precedence over that expensive education that they paid for. that they were going to allow the word of the Creator and the heavens and the earth make a determination that greater than the created ones. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovery of the sight of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And again, to bruise is an inside, you're bleeding on the inside, so to speak. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the ministers and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Well, the timeliness of God's presence is right now. Jesus Christ brought the kingdom of God with him. It is present now. Remember, he told his disciples, tell them, the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. And it is nigh unto us. It's right now. We all sit there and pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we live like it's not. Or that he won't accomplish those things. Really something. Don't let it be just an intellectual pursuit, but let it reveal the power and the love of God. And it maintains the capabilities to set others free. It's still the same word. But someone needs to speak it to the needs of man. And he's called us. Here am I. Send me. It delivers from addictions, whether they be alcohol, sex, drugs, food. I guess sex and drugs might as well put in rock and roll. People have addictions in so many categories of life, it's hard to even keep track of them. And maybe we wouldn't even consider them addictions. But there is a spirit realm that feeds off of these things. And people have been captivated by them. Well, when you go hunting and you put out a trap, what do you put in there to get the prey? Food. And these are all feeding holes for the adversary. Not that you can't listen to music or anything like that, but you ought to be, have in mind, remember, Lucifer at one time was in charge of music. Where do you think he's going to take it? And I'm trying to be as frank as I can. I'm trying not to offend. I'm not trying to set up rules for everybody. You need to do it for yourself. What do you need? Because look, if you were an alcoholic and you got delivered from alcohol, why would you want to go to a bar? Is that why you wanted to get delivered, so you can go back to the bar? I mean, if it is affecting your life in that way, and you need to be delivered from it, why would you want to go back to the same thing? I'm just trying to share with you truth. Share with you some understanding of some of these things. And like I say, people get addicted in many different ways. And I know people say, Larry, you see devil spirits behind every bush. No, I don't see them behind every bush. They want to dwell in people. They don't care about bushes. Unless, never mind. It delivers from sickness and disease. Matthew 10:1. And Look at Matthew chapter 4. Verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of what?
The kingdom.
He wasn't talking about Pilate's kingdom. He wasn't talking about Caesar's kingdom. And healing all manner of sickness and what? All manner of disease among the people. What kind of sickness? All manner of sickness. What kind of disease? All manner of disease. There is not a one. All manner, everyone. It delivers from sickness and disease, this word of God. It delivers from fear. Psalm 34, 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from what? All my fears. All manner of sickness, all manner of disease, all my fears. It delivers from mental distress. Luke chapter 8, verse 35, it talks about the man from the Gadarenes. He was sitting in the boat with Jesus in his right mind. This word of God is so dynamic and so powerful, it can heal insanity. It can heal Alzheimer's. I believe this word of God is so powerful. If it heals all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, and you can have a man like the man in the Gadarenes sitting there in his right mind, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is what the world needs. This is what people need to be introduced to. And we are the men and women to make the introduction. But do we want to really speak the word? No holes barred to all creatures. In all the world. Finally, I ask you to humbly consider this, if you'll go to Galatians chapter 5. I know what I shared with you today has excited you in a lot of categories, because these are the things we wanted to do, we were hungry to do. And we still carry that hunger. Because this word of God works, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, proved it. And he has given us the same power and authority to do the works that he did, and greater works than he did, because he went unto the Father. If the first part of that verse is true, the second part has to be just as true. Or if the second part is true, the first part has to be just as true. Did Jesus Christ go to the Father? We have to sit there and we have to agree. Yes, he did. Then the first part, the works that I do, shall ye do also, and greater works shall ye do, has to be just as true, because he did go unto the Father. If there was question about him going unto the Father, I could see a little cause for doubt in the first part of that scripture. But we know for sure that he went to the Father, because we have received that gift of Holy Spirit. We have spoken in tongues. We bear the witness within that this word of God is absolutely true. That all the things he said we could do, we will do. And all the things he says we can do, we've done, and we're beginning to do it in even greater. But I'd like you to consider, just humbly consider this, because this is also the scriptures. And is it just ourselves holding ourselves back because we're worried about what somebody's going to think or what somebody's going to say, or we're a little nervous about taking a step out? I can understand that. But the way to do it is just step out on the Word of God. You will find it will uphold you just the way it upheld Jesus when he walked on water. In Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, or walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Maybe it's just yourself that's holding you up, but whether it is yourself, you can change your mind. And whether it's bondage from the spirit realm that tries to keep us from speaking the great truth, tries to keep us from moving forward on these things, we have every right to command them to leave. We have every right to command them to go. We have every right to command that they do not interfere with which God has ordained and sent us forth to do. This is our time. This is our hour. And this is our Word of God. Bless your hearts.